Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures, the solo actual play podcast where stories are told at the speed of dice. With me, Steve Morrison, your game master and solo player. Now come on, let's grab the dice and see where our story goes. Welcome back for Chapter 9 of Book 1, Meridian. Last time, Einar Stargleam explains to Mr. Zhang about GenCorp and the cover-up of their faulty batch of Enelmyosin. He explains why he made the decision to help Sejana expose them, and how that led to using the wolf without permission. He understands there might be consequences, but says he did what he did for the common good. Mr. Zhang is a businessman, and his first and foremost concern is efficiency. What Einar did wasted company money and resources, and he puts Einar on notice that if he steps out of line again, he'll be out of a job. He also wants Lucille off the ship, but Einar argues that her presence has benefits. Mr. Zhang reluctantly agrees and dismisses Einar with a new job. Sejana wakes up in the hospital, to Ayati waiting for her. She thanks Ayati for staying, and Ayati expresses concern over further attacks. Sejana assures her if there is a next time, she won't be taken off guard. Einar learns that the new job is to transport 80 tons of agricultural maintenance equipment to Striades, a planet in the Alcatel system. He calms Ayati and tells her she needs to be back tomorrow for the job. They leave Sejana to recuperate in the hospital while they head for the Celerity conduit. So when we left off last time, Einar and Ayati were aboard the Howling Wolf, just leaping into the Celerity conduit and making their way towards the Alcatel system. I mentioned last time that normally in Traveler, jump travel takes a full week. But because I want there to be a little bit more of a frenetic pace to this campaign, I'm house ruling that to now jump travel takes 1 day per parsec. And the Alcatel system is only one parsec away from the Cassadin system. So the Howling Wolf is in the Celerity conduit for only a day. Over the course of that day, Einar and Ayati spend some time talking about the events of the last week and going over the potential future that they have. As the coruscating lights of the Celerity conduit are streaming past, Ayati and Einar are sitting in the cockpit. Ayati is fiddling with something in her right hand as she is looking at the displays in front of her. And then she turns to Einar and says, "Captain, what happens if we mess up and Mr. Zhang fires you? I mean, I said it once, I'll say it again. I don't want to work for somebody else. I don't want to be on a ship with another captain. You're my captain, and I don't want to have to lose you."
"I know, Ayati. Don't worry about that. We'll make sure that we get everything back as efficiently as Mr. Zhang requires."
"I mean, I hear you, but you and I both know that these sorts of missions, they don't always go smooth. I mean, we're going to a real backwater world, and there's a good chance there might be pirates out there, and here we are sitting in an unarmed ship. I love the wolf, but we can't really defend ourselves against a group of pirates. If something happens and we get held up and we don't make it back on time, Mr. Zhang is going to can you. I don't want to work with anybody else."
"Well, I don't know what to say. I'm afraid that we're kind of in a bind here. We both signed contracts with Zhang Imports, and we're here to do a job. If Mr. Zhang sees fit that I haven't done my job to the best of my ability, there's nothing I can do about that."
"Well, I mean, I hear you, but hear me out. What if we bought the wolf from him? What if we went out on our own? You've done it before. You ran your own company. What if we take the wolf and we make a run of it? You and me and Sejana, and we work for ourselves instead of for somebody else. Einar chuckles and says, I appreciate the idea, but you and I both know that Mr. Zhang isn't going to give up the wolf. He already owns this ship. We couldn't pay him enough to take it from him. And if you decided to leave with me in the event I get fired, we don't have enough money saved between us to buy a new ship, and what kind of credit can we get?
Well, I mean, I've got some credit banked from my time in the scout service, and I'll be willing to put in the effort to get it done. And, you know, yeah, maybe we wouldn't have, and she looks around the cockpit, as fine a ship as the Wolf here, but we could find something. We could start with another ship and make some money and then buy a new ship, buy a better ship. I'm just saying, if something goes south, I'd rather follow you to whatever venture is next for you than take on a new captain.
Well, I appreciate that, Ayadi. And I'd be lying if I said that I didn't want to work with a pilot as fine as you. So, why don't we make sure that this job goes well, and I'll work my way back into Mr. Zhang's good graces. Then we don't have to worry about this stuff.
All right, well, just keep it in mind. If it ever comes up, I got your back.
So they spend the rest of the day going through their normal ship operations, checking the cargo, making sure it's all secure, planning their route from the Celerity conduit jump point to Strides, and just generally taking the time to prepare for their emergence from the conduit back into real space. The day passes, and as they are approaching the final moments right before the ship is going to drop out of the jump, we are going to make a space encounters roll. Now, in Traveler, they have this lovely space encounters table where you roll a d6 for every day that you are flying through space, and on a 6, the ship encounters something, and then you roll a d66, which is basically 2d6s, and you look at some dice modifiers, and then you find out what kind of encounter you have. Normally, you roll a d6, and on a 6, the ship encounters something. But I am going to push that a little bit. And I'm going to say that because they're going out of kind of civilized space and headed towards a relatively wild area, I am going to roll the d6, but if it's a 4, 5, or a 6, they're going to encounter something. So let's go ahead and roll the dice and see what happens. That is a 4. Okay. So they are going to encounter something, and we're going to apply a DM to the first dice rolled on the D66 only. Okay. If the space is near an orbital starport, there's a high DM. If it's a high traffic space, there's a +2 DM. If it's settled space, it's +1. If it's a border system, it's +0. And if it's wild space, it's -1. If it's empty space, it's -4. So I'm going to say it's a border system because it is in close proximity to Cassida, which is a highly trafficked kind of high port space. And it's not quite wild space or like a really dangerous part of space. So this is just a DM0. So it's just 2d6, and we're going to take the dice as they roll. So here we go. 22, a free trader. Okay, interesting. So another ship returning from Strides, maybe, to the Celerity conduit. Let's go ahead and roll up a name for this ship. And to do that, I'm going to open up my Starforged Oracles and go to the Starship section.
go to the starship name and roll my D100. 18. The Eclipse. So let's go ahead and envision what this scene looks like. The Howlin' Wolf drops out of the Celerity conduit in the Alcatel system. So the Alcatel system has only one habitable planet, and that is Strides. And it is a tech level 3 planet. So there are mostly just farms and general agricultural production here. There are a couple of gas giants within the Alcatel system, and the wolf, as they drop out of the jump, Ayati engages the Aster drive, spools it up, and begins to accelerate away from the entrance to the Celerity conduit. They make their way in system, heading towards Strides, and after a couple of hours, the sensors aboard the wolf ping an approaching ship. Almost immediately, Einar and Ayati get really focused, because the Alcatel system, while mostly just home to this agricultural planet, doesn't have a whole lot of law in this area. And so they are on alert for the potential for pirates. So they detect this ship that is approaching, and they are going to have to try to determine something about it. Einar is going to make a sensors check, which is an electronics check. He doesn't have electronics sensors, but he has training in electronics. So he's going to be able to make this at a level 0. He has an education of +1, so it is at +1. I think it's a routine check, so that's only going to be a 6 up. Here we go. 6 + 1 = 7. That is a success. So he is looking at the scanner, and he is going to turn back to Ayati and say,
"Looks like it's a free trader. Identity coming through as the Eclipse. Running it through our database right now. Here it is. The Eclipse. It's registered out of Brenghold. Captained by an Archie Barlow. And looks like has legitimate mercantile licenses. All right, I think this guy is not a pirate in disguise.
All right, should we raise him on the comms and see how they're doing, see how Strides is?
Might not be a bad idea.
And Einar is going to open the comms and reach out to Captain Archie Barlow of the Eclipse. Does Captain Barlow answer? I think it's likely. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. So 75 or less is a yes. 45 absolutely does. Now, second question is there some sort of trouble on Strides? Is there something that might interfere with Einar and Ayati completing their mission? I think that is also likely, mostly because this is a lawless area. 82. Okay, well, the dice have spoken. So Einar raises the Eclipse and says,
"Captain Barlow, hello.
What can I do for you, Captain?"
"This is Captain Stargleam of the Howlin' Wolf. We're on our way to Strides. Just wanted to check in and see if you've been to Strides and if there's anything we need to know about."
"A few dust storms blew through, but they should have cleared by the time you arrive. A little bustle while I was there. Some ships from out of system arrived while my cargo was being loaded. Seemed to be some people interested in passage to Cassida. I had to disappoint them, but you might find some willing to pay a pretty penny for transport."
"Excellent. Well, I appreciate your time, Captain. and I wish you luck.
Same to you.
And in a quite surprising course of events, the two ships pass, and the Howlin' Wolf continues on towards Strides. We fade in to the hospital in Devonshire, where Sejana Lushale is still recuperating. She is sitting more upright than she was the day before. She's still hooked up to a couple of machines that are pumping a restorative through her veins, helping to increase the rate of healing that she is undergoing. And she's sitting there reading on her queue. Her queue is basically projecting this holographic screen in front of her. And she sees some like news sources on the left-hand side. And she is taking notes verbally. It's kind of speaking notes into her queue as she goes. And it seems like she is looking through a number of the most recent press releases for GenCorp and other corporations and businesses that are connected to GenCorp, cross-referencing those with the information that she can find about Verdant Consulting. She is sitting there going through all this stuff when there is a knock at her door. She waves a hand and the holographic screen disappears, and then she looks up at the door and says, "Enter." The door slides open and in walks Inspector Hallow of Cassadin Security. Sejana sits up a little bit more, and the inspector closes the door behind her and says, "Oh, it's good to see you upright. How are you doing?" "Well enough. To what do I owe this visit, Inspector?" Inspector Hallow walks to a seat that is next to the bed and gestures to it. Sejana nods, and the inspector settles in and then pulls up her own cue and projects an image up over the bed. She says, "I thought we might have a few things to talk about. First of all, I wanted to let you know that Mr. Rin has been released by Cassadin Security and has been awarded a small finder's fee for discovering corruption within GenCorp. That fee is paid out by the Cassadin government for any whistleblowers who bring forth any corruption that might be affecting government or corporate entities within the system. And he has made his way out of the Cassadin system on the recommendation of myself and another officer who is a friend of his. I just wanted you to know that Mr. Rin is safely out of GenCorp's hands." "That's very good to hear," Sejana says. "I hope he finds a better life somewhere else. He got lucky that you were the one that took his contract, because I know a lot of liars who would have just turned him in for the rue and wouldn't have thought twice about it." "To be clear, Inspector, I did think twice about it, but as a friend of mine informed me, how could I or anyone else who knew what was going on comfortably take Enelmyosin again to combat jump sickness, knowing that there were these batches out there that were defective?" "I agree. I think you made the right choice." Speaking of, GenCorp is facing a fairly thorough investigation and no doubt several lawsuits. Unfortunately, I can't really pin anything else to them right at the moment until this investigation is completed. And I've been moved off that particular case onto other cases. "Ah, and do you think that whoever takes over that case is going to do as thorough an investigation as should happen?" Inspector Hallow shrugs and says, "Maybe, maybe not. There are a lot of people within CASSEC who look the other way when the corporations do what they do." "Yes, I thought as much. but not you. Well, I'm trying not to develop a reputation as a corporation hunter or anything like that, but I've come across a couple of cases that have tangled with the corporations, and I'd like to think that I've come out ahead more than I've lost. I see. Is there any other reason you stopped by other than to deliver this happy news? Honestly, Inspector, it could have all been done in a quick calm. Oh, yes, I know. And I wanted to see you, see how you were doing, and speak to you specifically. You see, the new case that I've been assigned to, that actually I requested to be assigned to, is yours. Mine. Yeah, well, you were shot in broad daylight coming out of your ship in a docking bay here on Davinshire. So, yeah, I think Cassadin Security takes that fairly seriously. Of course. And what do you want to know? Do you want another recounting of the course of events? No, that's not necessary unless you feel like you have something to add. We have all the information from your compatriots as well as the testimony you gave to the inspectors when you first woke up. No, I just wanted to talk to you about the assassin. We have been able to identify him. Sejana looks curious and says, "Ah, anyone I know? Well, you tell me, Miss Lushale. His name was Colin Foreza. And he was a licensed independent recovery specialist." Sejana looks towards the wall and says, "Foreza. Yeah, he looked familiar, yes. Poor fellow. So you have interacted with him before?" "Yes, I crossed paths with him during a contract on Thel 2 years ago. And, well, let's just say that I'm the one that turned in the bounty. He didn't appreciate that very much and was very angry. I told him better luck next time. Well, seems like his luck ran out when he came to kill you. Maybe it's just a personal vendetta and the matter's settled, right?" Sejana looks back to Inspector Hallow and smiles that knife-like smile and says, "You and I both know that this was no random shooting, no personal vendetta being unleashed. Someone wanted revenge for the hurt that I brought on GenCorp. Maybe. Unfortunately, I can't connect Foreza to anyone. Certainly, he has brokers that he's worked with who have gotten him contracts in the past, but none of them are talking. None of them will say if they passed a contract on to him, and his personal communications have all been purged for the last 3 days. And you consider that to be suspicious?" "Of course I consider that to be suspicious. Somebody who just decides that they're going to kill someone that is a professional rival after, maybe, now that I know this, 2 years of stewing on a loss. Why would they delete comm logs unless they had something to hide? No, I think it's likely that he was hired to kill you. And I think you're right. I think it was someone connected to GenCorp. I just don't know who yet. But I'm going to try and figure it out. And I wanted you to know that I'm on the case. Inspector, I have a question for you, but I would ask that it be off the record." Hallow looks at Sejana and quirks an eyebrow and then waves her cue and dismisses the information that she displayed about Foreza and the images from the scene of the attack. And she leans back and folds her arms and says, "I'm not a journalist. I'm an inspector. I don't really do off the record." Sejana shrugs and says, "Perhaps not, but you came here to tell me your suspicions. That's not something a normal inspector does. I'm just the victim here." At this, Inspector Hallow smiles. Her smile is wide and warm, and "I suspect that you are most certainly not the victim. This attack may have been targeting you, but I suspect you're going to make whoever did this, whoever originated this attack, pay. And yeah, you're right. I came here to find out what you know and also try to make sure that if you do decide to try to hunt down the people who attempted to assassinate you, that you would work with me and Kasek rather than against us. Because, like I said the last time we spoke, I've read your record, at least what I could find. And I know that you have no problem getting shit done, if I can be so crass. Of course. I will entertain for this moment that what you tell me here in confidence will not go into my official report, unless, of course, it represents an admission of guilt or represents a clear and present threat to the Cassidan system. You understand, I am bound by my oath to the Cassidan security and to the system to keep the people safe. Yes, you're a very good inspector. My question for you, Inspector Hallow, is, have you ever heard of a group called Verdant Consulting? So we're going to cut back to the Howlin' Wolf as the ship is approaching Strides, this beautiful, green, vibrant world that is full of open plains and lots of large farms. And they are carrying these 80 tons of farming equipment and gear that they're going to deliver. Now, this deal has already been made by Zhang Imports to deliver these goods to a broker on Strides. We should roll up a name for this broker. So we're going to roll our D100. Once again, look at our Starforge oracles. Got a 15. That is Finn. So the broker's name is Finn. And I think there are these large farms that are spread across this plain area on Strides. And there's basically one quote unquote big town on the planet. And it is where a lot of people come to trade. There really isn't a starport here, but there is an open field that has an area where ships can land and they can load cargo onto the ships. This planet is really a place where additional food is grown for people who live in Cassida, who live in other systems around here. And so there are constantly ships coming and going, picking up fruits and vegetables and cattle that are being grown here on Strides. And so I think Finn is kind of one of the bigger brokers here on the planet and has his office in this big town, which, again, for somebody coming from Davinshire, which is this sprawling metropolis that spreads across maybe hundreds, if not thousands of miles, this looks podunk. But to these people, this town is, you know, at least 6 or 7 blocks, which is pretty exciting. So as they're approaching the planet, Einar calls up the comm and reaches out to Finn. And he answers almost immediately, and he says,
the Howlin' Wolf, come in. Yes, this is Finn of Strides Goods and Services. Who am I speaking to?
This is Captain Einar Stargleam of the Wolf. We are on approach, we are on schedule, and we will be arriving shortly to deliver some goods.
Excellent. I've got you right on the schedule here. I'm happy to know that you're on time. Your employer mentioned that he was very efficient and that his crews got their goods where they needed to be quickly, and I appreciate that. So I will have people ready to offload once you arrive, and then we will conduct the transfer of funds.
While I've got you on the line, I was curious if you had any cargo for the return trip. I haven't seen any notes about there being any return cargo. I'm just supposed to deliver this.
But, you know, I'm sure my employer would not like me to return with an empty cargo hold if I can avoid it. So if you've got a lead on anything, I would really appreciate it.
Well, let me go ahead and look through what I've got here.
And dropping out of the narrative for a moment, I went ahead and rolled these things off air, and I rolled 18 tons of incidental cargo, I rolled 125 tons of minor cargo, and 200 tons of major cargo, which is fantastic for Strides, but unfortunately, the Howlin' Wolf can only carry 80 tons of cargo, so they can't take any of those minor or majors, so they're going to take the 18 tons of incidental cargo. But there's another thing that crews can do. They can take on passengers. So I rolled for that as well and determined using a broker roll from Einar, which succeeded with two effect, and then the plus and minus dice modifiers that fall under the passenger section, that there are 5D worth of low passage passengers. There are 4D worth of basic passage, there are 2D worth of middle passage, and 3D worth of high passage passengers who are looking for transit off of Strides. Passengers are an interesting thing because you need to have a skill in steward in order to take on passengers of middle or high passage. None of my current characters have any of those skills. So I want to roll a check to see if there is a steward for hire on planet because Einar might be interested in taking on a new crew member in order to offer passage to individuals heading to Cassida. So I think it's unlikely that there is a steward who is just kicking around on Strides with nothing to do and is interested in signing up on a ship, but might as well roll the dice and see what happens. 43 is a no. So there's no steward available. So that means that the middle and high passage, we don't even need to roll on those. They are not available. So what I'm going to do here on air is I'm going to roll my 4D for the basic passage, and then I'm going to roll the 5D for the low passage, see how many passengers there are, because the Howlin' Wolf only has 10 standard staterooms, and three of those are taken up by Ayati, Einar, and Sejana. So they have 7 standard berths available, and for basic passage, they could fit 14 people on there, because it's basically like 2 people to a room. So let's go ahead and roll 4D and see what we get. That's 13, 15 on the dice, so 15 passengers. And then for our low berths, we're going to roll 5 dice. Now, low berths are people who are put into cryostasis and spend the passage in stasis. So we've got 13 who are willing to go into cryo, into the low berths. The Howlin' Wolf has 20 low berths, so they can take all of those passengers. I think Ayati volunteers to move her stuff out of her room and stay in Sejana's room, reasoning that Sejana would rather have her squatting in her room rather than some rando from Strides. So they are going to be able to take on all of the basic passengers and the low berth passengers as well. So Finn lists off the various cargoes that he has, including 18 tons of fresh apples that can be transported off planet. And since the other batches are too big for the Howlin' Wolf to take, Einar says, we'll take those apples. We'll find a good seller for them in Cassida. I was wondering, too, do you have any passengers who would be willing to travel aboard my humble ship to make their way to Devonshire? And if so, we've got the space.
And Finn says, well, let me ask around a little bit, and I'll have an answer for you when you land.
So they go ahead and descend down into the atmosphere, and as the Howling Wolf is approaching the surface, they can see these farms that are spread out in every direction, and they see this small little town that they're headed towards. And it looks as though there might be a small crowd of people waiting by that landing area. Einar looks at Ayati and says, "This is how I'm gonna get back into Mr. Zhang's good graces. I'm gonna be efficient. We're gonna take back more than we brought. And we're gonna make the company double the money. That, I think, is the way to Mr. Zhang's heart."
"I hope you're right, Einar, because there are a lot of people down there, and they look like they want to board this ship."
"Don't worry, Ayati. It'll be all right. Just get us down into the surface, and I'll talk to them. And then when we get back to Davenger, there'll be a nice bonus in it for both of us. I'm sure of it."
"All right. Let's get down there, then."
And the Howling Wolf is going to descend down to the surface and settle onto this wide open field on the planet Strides.
Hey, this is Steve cutting in before the outro with a special thanks to my good buddy Matt Risby of the Bad Spot podcast for his guest appearance in this episode. If you haven't checked out Matt's work before, please go on over to YouTube and check out The Bad Spot. He does really fantastic actual play using Ironsworn Starforged, and he also has a bunch of videos on how to play Ironsworn. And full disclosure, Matt and I do a monthly podcast over on his channel where we talk about role-playing games, especially solo games, but other games as well. And if that sounds interesting to you, go on over to The Bad Spot on YouTube and check it out. All right, on to the outro.
Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word. And if you want to support the show directly, leave me a review or support me on Patreon at patreon.com/errantadventures. You can also buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/errantadventures. If you want to interact with me, my handle on all the socials is @errantsolopod, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post short fiction and campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in the deep, liars.